Anyway, enough of So we've been talking about Shichur of an Eved Kenani, a person called an Eved Kenani. So how one goes about freeing him. So the usual ways of freeing, we speak about Kesef, Shtar, Melech Mer comes up with somewhat of a creative ways of potentially freeing one's Eved Kenani. So we'll pick it up from right in the middle of Lamed Chesed Beis. The first one is Be'er Shabbos, literally about halfway down. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rav. Hamakdish Avdo. If a person declares that the Eved should be Hekdesh, so Yotzei L'Chairus, so the Eved automatically goes free. Why is that? Why is the Lashon of Hekdesh considered to be a type of a freedom? My time. Kufei Lo Kodesh. So we have to analyze what could it possibly mean. A person says about a human being, says about an Eved Kenani, it's going to be Hekdesh. So he obviously doesn't mean to be Makdesh is Guf. The Makdesh Guf means you have an animal. So you Makdesh animal to the basic Mikdesh, you can bring it as a korban. So obviously, that's not an option. You're not going to bring Eved Kenani as a korban. So clearly, that's not what the person had in mind. But Dami Lok Amar. In theory, what he could have had in mind was not that we could actually use the Eved friendly. What in the world you can use an Eved for? You know, you can bring him as a korban, you can build him as part of his bech. What can you possibly do with an Eved? What you may have meant is that the value of the Eved should be Kodesh. You never really meant to be Makdish, the body of the Eved. You meant to say, whatever this Eved would sell for in the market, I'll sell him for $100,000. I'll use that money to give a gift to the base of Mikdash. But Ladami lo come. That's what you said. You said that the Eved proper should be Kodesh. You didn't say the magic words Ladami. So it must be what you meant is the Levi Am Kodesh Ka'amar. When you said the animal should be Hekdesh, that was a very poetic, very dramatic way of describing it. He should be Jewish. Because we know that Eved Kenani, as long as he's still an Eved, is not a full-fledged Jew. Once he becomes free, then he becomes a regular full-fledged Kedush. As you mentioned earlier in the week, that close by that he's an Eved, he can't count for a minion. As soon as he becomes free, then he can count to complete the minion. So Mishtamadah, when he said those magic words, Makdish, he didn't mean Makdish in the class. He said Makdish as a poetic way of describing becoming Jewish. Rav Yosef and Rav, Rav Yosef said the name of Rav, a similar kind of halacha, Hamafkir Avdei Yotzei L'Chairus. That if a person is mafkir their Eved, they declare the Eved to be ownerless. Eved's ownerless. You're no longer the owner of the Eved. The male Yotzei L'Chairus, he goes free. So we have two different lashonos that are not the regular way of freeing an Eved. One being mafkir, one being mafkir, and we have statements from Rav that both of them are effective. So the Gemara says that these two statements don't necessarily agree with one another. Mandiyam makdish koshke mafkir. So the version of Rav that even to be makdish in Eved is a sufficient way of freeing him. How much more so if you use a lashon hefker? Hefker is much more in sync with an Eved. That's the lashon of an Eved. It used to be my Eved. It used to watch me. Now I'm basically declaring my rights to him as the ownerless. Mandiyam mafkir. But the opinion that says that Rav was talking about mafkir, makdish lo. That opinion may not necessarily agree to the case of Makdish. Do a double cover, because maybe what the person meant when he said Makdish was really that idea that we rejected. When we mentioned a moment ago that maybe the person's intent was to declare as a gift to the base of Makdish the value of the Eved. So the Gemara said that. Well, he didn't say that. The other didn't say that. So therefore, we must have meant to free the Eved. But one could argue that. One could say that. That's not what even though he didn't say it, that's what he meant. The Lashon of Hekdesh is much more in sync with declaring value to the base of Mikdash, saying, oh, he meant to mean he's Kadosh. He meant to Kidash Tanami Kolal Shadis. It's unlikely that's what the person meant. So the bottom line is, if you're Mafki Rebbit, for sure he goes free. If you're Makdish Rebbit, it's not exactly clear what the person's real intent, what that language really means. Another.
If someone says they're Makdish themselves, like a regular person to the base of Mikdash, then they just give the
value. But it can, the only thing it could possibly mean could be value. There would be no other meaning to that. Somebody's going to talk about it a little bit later. You have your own right. That's right. So now that you want to raise the Shali Bailu, we have the following question. All these cases of these strange kinds of freeing in Eved, Tzarek get Shichur or Lo Tzarek? Does the Eved require a get Shichur or not? In addition to being free, does he also require a document or not? So what would that be? What would that mean? If he's free, he's free. If he's not free, he's not free. What would this necessity be? He's free, but he needs a document. So it's in this Gemara, and the sugi that's going to keep on appearing a little bit later on, there is a Ramban, Maseches Kedushin, where basically the Ramban explains to us, it's almost like a brisket term, two halachos, the Ramban says. When you own an Eved Kenani, you really have two kinyanim in that Eved Kenani. You have two different kinds of ownership, two kinds of acquisitions in the Eved Kenani. One is what we use, the phrase, a kinyan mamon. And the others we call Kinyan Isser. Kinyan Mamon is literally dollars and cents. So the same way that when I own a car, I use the car. I own the house. So I live in the house. A person owns an Eved Kenani. A guy sells himself as an Eved Kenani. So you owe them. You have a right to make your work. So that's a kiddin mamon. That's pure mamon. That's like any other dinim mamon. But in addition to the dinim mamon shuvel, there's also a religious dimension of this relationship. There are halachas that emanate from being an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani has only certain mitzvahs, doesn't have other mitzvahs. An Eved Kenani doesn't count for a minyan. An Eved Kenani can't marry a regular Jewish girl. They only marry a shivcha. So there are halachas that govern in your day in Eved Ezer. There are religious aspects of being an Eved Kenani. That's what's called the kiddin iser. Says the Rabban, hefker is a mechanism of getting rid of a kiddin mamon. I can get my car, my house, my animal, etc. But when we deal in the religious realm, so we only have one real model of how do you get rid of a religious kiddin? What other kiddin issa do we have? That which is a kiddin issa, you should make this the Bible. When a couple gets married, so now there are religious dinim, there are ritual halachas, there are hetta dinim that kick in, and a person cannot say to his wife, I'm mafki you. So, you know, welcome my wife, I'm mafki you. Marry whoever you want. I think we're getting this yet, so we're up to aflam and ches, we already should know that. That you have to write a shtap, write a shtap shichur. So that's what the Rambat says. That's the same model for Eved Kenani as well. That just because you got rid of the mamonis shavo, that doesn't exclude the issa shavo. The issa shavo is only removed with a get promise. That's the idea of even though the Eved particle goes free, means he doesn't have to work for it anymore. You can't force him to work. You have no right to make him work because you're mafki a kiddin mamon. But kiddin issa is still retained, and that requires a get shavo. So Toshma, the Gemara now wants to go back and say, is it? No, the kiddin issa means that you can't marry a vas yisrael and kinchitos, so those kind of religious halachos. No, those others are over. But once the mamonis is over, he doesn't work for me. I don't have to support him. We part ways in terms of being a mamonis, but I'm still holding on that religious obligation.
A woman, it's not that way. So,
well, a woman's a difference, so, right? A woman that calls by, you have a little bit of garishar, so then you still retain. There is no real dinim mamonis. It's not a kiddin mamon that you have in your wife. It's a chrayas that you have, shibudim that you have. So those shibudim are still intact. The only way to remove those shibudim are by giving a get. So Toshma, the verse is, what's the answer to this question? That Rav himself actually said that even though these avodim go free with the lashon of hefker hekdesh, they still require a get shichur. So notwithstanding this whole shibudim of the Rabban, Allah test it out. The Gemara is going to actually quote someone who disagrees with this. We pass it like this. The Gemara is going to have a discussion about the test when this is even 100% true. But now the Gemara is going back to the original question. When a person is machdish in Eved, so we kind of threw our hands up and said that nothing really happens in terms of hekdesh. The statement of machdish in Eved is a meaningless statement in Halacha. It's not kiddush shaguf, not kiddush dov. It's nothing. It just means the guy goes free. So I'm a rabbi. So Rabbi said about Svin Nashmaisin. We ourselves have asked the question. Usually someone else asks the question. Here we ask it ourselves the following question. So here we have a statement from the Tanoim. So if a person is makdish their property and they happen to own Eved Kenanis, so the assumption of the price is that all the avodim are about to become hekdesh. So what do you do with that? So just the mere fact that the price is assuming that they're becoming hekdesh, that already throws a curveball at us. That's already contradicts what we said before. But the Gemara finishes up the story and tries to figure out, so now what do we do with these avodim? So the Gemara says that these avodim are in a very, very strange position. So who now owns these avodim? So the goal of the Braise is to try to get some money out of the avodim. So we're going to try to sell the avodim, make some money, and get that money to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the goal of the Braise. But who is going to be authorized to do that? So the Gizbar is usually the one. The Gizbar is the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to be the one who usually is in charge of Dvarim Shel Hekdesh. But here the Gemara says he can't really do that. The Gizbar doesn't really have a full kinyan haguf on these avodim. So he's not going to be the one to actually free the avodim. Enig is bar b'shalot shel acherim, aval mochnas on the acherim. So rather, the gizbar has the momentous relationship with these avodim. He could sell these avodim off to other people. The acherim otzinas on the acherim. Then the other people are going to have the ability to free these avodim. But the very, very strange halacha, because the other people are only getting their authority from the gizbar. The gizbar himself couldn't do it. So we're not exactly sure how that works in the momentous. But l'maisa, that's what's going to happen. So that's a tricky thing. So Rashi walks a very, very fine line. So Rashi writes, "Ahani gazbarim ein mashal l'gash ein guf and kol hekdesh shlo disha el adamim." That the gizbar doesn't really own them. The gizbar just is in charge of making sure that the Beis HaMikdash gets reimbursed. So the gizbar, his goal is to get the money of the value of the sale of to the Beis HaMikdash, but he doesn't really have the authority to actually free them. which is a strange idea, because then how did the person who bought them from the gizmo, where did he get that authority from? Exactly. So that's so not.
He's sort of like, you know, it's understandable because he's sort of like a transfer agent, like a shliach. And I use the word shliach because he's empowered to do it, but he has a limitation.
Right. So it's not clear, Didi Mamonis, what exactly that status of the gizmo is vis-a-vis the Avadim. But again, the goal for it, for our purposes, is to get to the punchline, is that you see the Avadim give hektish. That's what's really important. We quoted the Amorai before, said, nah, guys, there's no such thing as being Makdish in Eved. It's just meant to be free him. I'm Kaddish, come on. So you backpedal and see from the Tanur, and that's not the case. So the Brice is this. What do you do with these Avadim exactly? So you sell them to other people, and you take that money, give it to the base of Mekdash, and then the Achayr of Moses of Achayr. Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe says, you don't even have to do that. Omer Ani, what I think you can do is as follows. Av, who knows it? Rebbe was the Tanur who used that phrase. Omer Ani, I say. The Mefarshim point out that Omer Ani is like what we would say today, Lefiyani is Daiti. It's like in my humble opinion, Omer Ani, this is what you can say what you want to say, Lefiyani is Daiti is what I say. So Omer Ani, this is what I would say to do. Av, who knows it? May ask for the I'd say. Maybe should come out for low that the Eved himself could almost free himself. It means let the Eved himself get some money from somebody else, and then he'll be the one to buy himself and give that money to the Beis Hamikdash. So whatever you're going to do with the Eved exactly, we're not exactly sure who's in charge of freeing the Eved, who's in charge of getting the cash from the Beis Hamikdash. But one thing is clear, that this Eved is Kadosh. So answers the Gemara, you're going to ask a Kasha. From this, it's a Mishnah. Yes, a Kasha is Mishnah. But this is Karamas later Rav. You can ask a Kasha from a Mishnah. Rav Tanu Paulig. Rav had the status of a Tana. Rav says this in Subas and other places. Rav lived in that very, very first generation, but he had the ability to be Cholik on Mishnayos. Now, we know at some point in history, we reached a point where the Amoraim didn't disagree with the Tanoim. It's not 100% clear why that happened. Like, why can't Abaye, why can't Rav argue with Rabbi Akiva? Like, where exactly is the halachic significance of that timeline that's drawn? That's a loaded question, but not for right now. But the Gemara says that Rav lived on the border. He lived literally on that generation, first generation, and he still had the ability to disagree with Rav. It's interesting because the Rishonim point out that even though some of Rav's colleagues also lived at the same time, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan didn't have that authority. So it's not exactly clear why that should be so, but the Gemara said it. Rav Tanu Upam. So Toshma, the Gemara says, let's bring another proof. So here the Gemara is quoting a statement from the Torah's Kohanim, which is coming to a pasuk in Chumash, which is also ultimately going to be Tanoim. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, why are we asking Kash and Rav? We're just going to finish saying you can argue. So Rashi points out that this is already more difficult to argue with. Here we're arguing with the Pshat and the pasuk in Chumash. But here the Tanoim telling us this is the Toshma best interpretation of pasuk in Chumash. So that's harder to believe that Rav's going to have the authority to disagree with that. So what does it say in the Chumash? Akol Chayim Rebbe. So the pasuk at the very, very end of Sefer Yikra speaks about a very unique kind of a hekdesh for the Chayim. Chayim here doesn't mean like the way we use the term Chayim to say, guys, excommunicate from the community. That's not what it means in Chumash. Chayim in that context means it's a type of a gift to the Beis Hamikdash. It's a little bit different than a regular hekdesh. There's a whole sugyus in the end of Maseches Erechin, what it is, what it's not. But it's a type of a gift of value really to the Beis Hamikdash.
Who would you say that this case is different
than the
Matzah? Like, it's in a different context. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Right. The Pasuk, so it's more
clear. Right, it's more clear. That's what he meant. Right. That's a good cash. Some of the Gemara didn't think that fact was significant. It's a good point. Not a bad chiluk, but the Gemara somehow ignored it. So comes the Gemara, quotes this pasuk, Akol Chayrim. So what does that mean? The pasuk says that a person can be macharim, can declare these things as gifts to the Beis Hamikdash. And it says, May Adam, he can be macharim, even people, he can be macharim, exactly. Elu avodah v'shivchosav k'na'anim. This refers to as evident in Shifra Kanani that a person can declare to be Chayrim, which is a type of a hektish in the base of Mikdash. So this undermines what we said before. The whole premise of Rav was it's impossible to be Machdish a person. A person is not Kaddish. A person, when you said the word Kaddish about a human being, about an Evid, that's the code phrase for saying you're freeing him. So it's a very nice Shifra Kanani, but it's not right. The nice thing you see from the Tanoim, that's not right. It comes in the mindset.
The guy says, he might have had in mind to be
Makdish
based on
Hindash,
and now we're
going to
say, sorry, you freed him.
Right, because when a person is Makdish something, it's not only important what he had in mind. You have, if he's verbalizing something that's radically different than what he's thinking, that doesn't really matter. It's only to be marked to something, you need what's called pivot libo shogun. You have to have in mind to be doing what you want to do, and you have to actually verbalize what you're doing.
No,
So now the question is, right, because we in Dinim Momus, we always take that into consideration. What was like Devarim Shablay Vedim Devarim? That if you say something, so we can't monitor what exactly is going on in your heart of hearts, unless you made a Mamashim mistake. That's like the Gemara says that a person meant to be Makdish one thing and then his tongue slipped and he said the wrong thing. That's a toast. So that's a mistake. But it's not a mistake. It's just that he said something. He had this, he claims that he had a different understanding of what the words mean. The halacha takes into consideration what he said. So if the meaning Makdish Evid, that term has no other logical meaning, there's no other acceptable halachic meaning to that except you wanted to free your Evid. So you freed your Evid. I said you didn't free your Evid, but the Evid says you did free me. It's like when you sign a contract, and then afterwards, you say, wait, that's not what I meant. I really meant, said, okay, but according to the lawyers, according to the Dakish Alayim, this is what the words mean. You can tell Shtekot Tarkim tomorrow, but if you just put your name on something, so you open up your mouth, you made a declaration, so it's going to be binding on what you said. So the bottom line is the Brice speaks about being machir and Nebuchadnezzar. So that undermines what Rav said. That Brice is talking about what he actually said, a machir to Shastavim. It's in theory you could be machir and Ebed. What that would mean is not that the Ebed is being brought as a korban and not that he's becoming part of the Mizbech. What it would, the only way to make any sense out of being machir to Ebed would mean, what I really meant is a machir to the value of the Ebed. That's why I didn't really mean the Ebed proper. I meant the value of the Ebed.
Doesn't mean that for anything.
Yeah, it might be anything, the dumb. Yeah.
Right. I'm saying, and the implication is that it's dumb.
It's the dumb, right. So the problem is that by an Evid, because you have the possibility to interpret what he meant is Levi Amkodesh, he meant to free him, so that's more likely than
the dumb. Once you pay it off, that's your
Evid. Right, his value, but not him. Right, that's right. So it comes to the point, it says that Bryce, you actually said it. So, Ihochi. So if that's the case, that the person wasn't really machdish the item, he was simply machdish the value of the item. Nothing happened to the item. Idachnami the amodami. So that first brisa also, which spoke about being quote unquote machdish the chasim, and then we said, oh, you don't weren't really machdish your evidence. So the Gemara says, you're right. That brisa disagrees with Rav. So why do we have to say that? Why don't we say Taicha, the first brisa also, that you weren't machdish your evidence proper. You were simply machdish the value, whatever the value is. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be pshat. That's not what the first price is, man. Yochi. Eina gizbar mashar lotzi al mecheiros. Gizbar might be the time. Why are we talking about the treasurers freeing the Eben? The Eben doesn't even belong to the basic English. If you're makdish something with domim, what that means is, you're not really makdish the item, you're makdish the value of the item. I own the item. We're gonna figure out how much the item is worth, and then we're gonna make pay the value of that item. So why are we talking about freeing the Eved? For Sue, and similar, an additional question of Amochros on the Chaver, Chaverus on the Chaverus. Where the other guys come from? Who gave the Eved over to anybody? For Sue, Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe said Omer and Yafu must be out from the Yotzish Mochrolo. Says that the guy gives his own value and he goes free. You the dummy, my Beshu Mochrolo. Who sold him to what? The whole thing is wrong. So yes, it is possible that sometimes when the Tarim speak about Bimakdish of Adim, it could be that they mean the Dom. It is possible, but that first Brisa did not mean that, because the whole context of the first Brisa of selling him and freeing him in Yisbarim wouldn't make any sense. So we're back to square one. What is the law? A person makes a statement that he's Makdish is Evid. Does that mean anything? Is there any significance whatsoever? So Toshva, we looked at the Brisa. A Makdish Avda, a person is Makdish is Evid. So the Eved is not kadosh in the classic sense. The Eved could still work. The Eved still gets fed. There's no me'ilah. There's nothing to worry about using the davar shel hekdesh. The Eved is not kadosh. Shel hekdesh al adama. Because when the person was machdish the Eved, so all he meant was is that the value of the Eved should be kadosh. So once again, this...
Who's feeding and who has that price to...
Whoever you know feed the Eved, that's a machlokes in the first parak, is an adon absolutely required to feed the Eved. Mas machlokes is that a chiv and dinim mamonos, that the adon is required to feed the Eved, or is that just like divrei musa, just like that's the right thing to do? It's bittis tachesed the rabbi writes. It's racham. Don't be a cruel person. Not feed your Eved. Is it really required dinim mamonos? It's not clear. But whoever's going to feed him, the Eved is working, is being fed. It's business as usual. So the Gemara says, why is it business as usual? Because it's not really kadosh. because we just had Mishnah Dama. So the bottom line is that the Tanoim are once and time again talking about the context of B'makdish Nevin. Is such a thing as B'makdish Nevin? So Rav sounds like he's taking on everybody. And Rav said, it can't be B'makdish Nevin. It doesn't exist. There's no such entity called B'makdish Nevin. So the Gemara says in the top level of the Testament Aleph that statement of the Tanoim that we find time and time again to B'makdish Nevin, how many Rabbi Meir he? That is Rabbi Meir speaking. The Amar Eina the Mauti Dvar of Levatala. Rabbi Meir, in a sense, Erechim, has a very unique sheet about B'makdish, the gifts of the basic B'makdish in general. The Mishnah, the first Bible of Erechim, quotes the following Shaila. A person gets up and he wants to give a neder of Erechim. Erechim is the specific value. Every person has a specific value connected to them, depending not how much this is sold for in the market, but the target is what's called the Shia Kotzim, going to the Dhamma Kotzim, a very, very set amount, depending on two factors, how old you are and whether you're a male or a female. The Torah says, the male at the age of such and such, you're worth X, such and such. A female at the age of such and such, you're worth X, such and such. So if a person says, Erech Alai, a person says, I want to give that value, Parshas Kosai on me, so there's an X amount of money. So the Tanoim by the following Shaila. Let's say a person says that I want to give the value of the two-week-old baby. So the problem is the two-week-old baby doesn't have an Erech yet. Erech only begins after 30 days. So the Erech of a two-week-old baby is absolutely zero. So what did the guy mean? He says, Erech plenty alive. Erech the baby alive. So most of the Chacham said what he meant was Dvar B'Telem. He says, it's a meaningless statement. So Rameh says, no. Rameh says, when people speak about the Beis HaMikdash, they want to give money to the Beis HaMikdash, they don't mean nothing. When people give it an appeal, they mean it seriously. They want to give something. If they didn't want to give something, then they wouldn't have said anything. So what did they mean? What they must have meant is as follows. He must have really had in mind, not that he's going to give the Erech of the baby, he's going to give the Dvar of the baby. Let's say a person says, I'm going to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash, not my Erech, my Dvar to the Beis HaMikdash. So then you don't look at the Chumash and say, well, this guy's between the age of 20 and 60, and he's a male, he's worth X amount of money. No. Yeah, you go to the market and figure out how much would a person sell as an Eved in the marketplace. So there's Dvar and there's Erechim. It all depends what you said. If you said Dom, you pay Dom. You said Erechim, you pay Erechim. So here, this guy, a little tzaflagin, he said Erechim, but he can't possibly mean Erechim because the baby doesn't have an Erech to him. So Rabbi Meir says, we tight up his words. This time he meant to say Dom. He meant really to give the value. How much is the two-week-old baby worth? Probably a nice amount of money. Nice, healthy, good baby. Probably worth a lot of money on the market. So it's not really worth money now, but it's a good investment. So comes Rabbi Meir and says, ain't on the moti dvar levatala. When a person makes a statement in the realm of Hekdesh and it doesn't really mean what it should mean, we're going to touch it up and we're going to repackage it to mean such and such. Because the person would never be playing games with Hekdesh. So that's what the Gemara says here also. I'm under Mary. When the guy says, I'm Machdesh by Eved, so we give a touch. He didn't really say to be Machdesh, but this is what he means. He means the following, Ain't on the Moses of Elamatullah. Because I'm under Mary, the Ain't on the Moses of Elamatullah. How can I mistake? The Gemara says, this sounds right. This statement of the Tanoim sounds like it's a Rabbi Meir person. The Tani Sefer, because it says in the Sefer, the Chayn Hu Shehikdish Atzmo, Osev Ochel Shehikdish El Adam Av. When the person is Makdish himself, so the same way we said before, that if a person is Makdish is Eved, so such and such happens, and if a person is Makdish himself, a similar thing happens as well. Also, he's a lot of work. He's a lot to eat. He's not considered to be a davar shel me'ilah because he only had in mind to give the davar. If you say this, Bryce is Rabbi Meir speaking. Shapir said, according to Rabbi Meir, it makes a lot of sense that what you said was basically meaningless. It's a silly statement, but we touch it up to mean such and such. Eliyahu is Rabbanani. When it comes to, if you hold that this is not really Rabbi Meir, but it's rather the Rabbanan speaking, and the Rabbanan don't usually type up your statements. So Bishlama Avdol Adamikoi. So I can understand by an Eved when we could say that, all right, maybe the guy meant Dabim. Ela Il Adamikoi. That guy talks about himself. So he's not going to be sold in the marketplace ever. He's a Ben Chayrin. So obviously he didn't mean anything. So how could the Tanoim say that? No, he meant the following. The Teretz is, this is all in the mindset of Rabbi Meir, that even though what you said was really foolish, you said had zero halachic significance validity to it, we're going to make you pay money because we assume ain't other motzi dvar levatala. So when all the dust settles, so we have Rav's statement still stands, and if the person didn't really say l'damim, we're not going to entice you to be l'damim, unless you're a mayor's team. The mayor does different things with people's words, a lack thereof, but in the regular world, So whether or not we're going to tight you up to be that you meant Ladanim, whether you meant that the Eved goes free, is still somewhat unresolved. So the Gemara is limited. Maybe this idea, this concept, can you be machdash in Eved or not? Does that idea really exist? You could declare your Eved to be kadosh. Is that really true? Maybe this is gufo machlekes atanai. What did the Tanaim argue? We had a machdash avdo. Back to square one. The guy's machdash is Eved. Ain mol in both. So the Tanakhama says there's no me'ila in that Eved. Somebody benefits. Somebody uses that Eved. Somebody works with that Eved. They don't have to bring a korban me'ila.
So the original rough decision that held on machdash Eved. So the Mars now revisited.
Right, revisited and say maybe it's a machlekes atanai. Right. The Gwen does it all the time. When we get a more of a statement, it's yes, Kash, then says, maybe it's an old machlokes. So the Tanakhama says that there would be no me'ila on this Eved. The implication of that statement is the reason why there's no me'ila is for obvious reason, because it was never Kaddish in the first place. If it's Kaddish, there's no me'ila, it's not Kaddish, there's no me'ila. So when the Tanoim said, a molimbo, that's a code phrase for saying it's not Kaddish. When Meshibin Amlil, I'm a molimbisaro. So Meshibin Amlil throws a curveball at us. The Gemara's going to try to explain a little bit later why in the world that's significant. Rabbi Shimon says, "No, there is me'ila on him, at least on his hair. So if you shave his head, use it, and sell it for something, you made some money off his hair. That's like mo'al behekdish." Again, the Gemara is going to explain manish on his hair for the rest of his body. But you see, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is treating the eved as being kadosh. So it sounds like that is the machlekes etzaron. Rab's statement was an age-old machlekes etzaron. My labachem iflagi. Isn't this what they're arguing about? The marz of a kadosh, the marz of a lo kadosh. Tanakama said he's not Kaddish. That's why there's no Me'ila. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said he is Kaddish. That's why there is Me'ila. Why only on the hair? To be determined. So the Gemara says, what? Tis for Rab. Do you think you're right? What you said is logical. Hay molimbo be molimbo. Hay Kaddish be Kaddish be my leg. So why did the Tanoim speak in middles? Why did the Tanoim speak about Yem Me'ila, Nish Me'ila? They should have simply said, yeah, Kaddish or not Kaddish. So, El de Kuliyama Kaddish. Of course the Eved is Kaddish. Everybody disagrees with Rab. Well, Rab's against all the Tanoim. All the Tanoim say the Eved is Kaddish. The Machlekes HaTanoim has nothing to do with whether the Eved is Kaddish. It has to do with the technicality, a quirk in Huchas Me'ila. Just because something is Kaddish doesn't necessarily mean that there's Me'ila on it. Me'ila is limited to Metalkalin and doesn't apply to Karka. So the guy's Machdish his house, Machdish his field. So it's Kaddosh, all right, you're not supposed to use it, but there's no Me'ila. The Karim Me'ila is derived from Psukim, only applies to Davish and Metaltalim. So Gemara says, Vach Vach Mefugi, Marsh of the Ad the Kibakarbe Dami, Marsh of the Kibakarbe Dami. The Machleg said to Rami, what does it have? Every guy has a funny mix, because on the one hand, he's moving around. So he's like a Davish Metaltalim, he's like an animal. On the other hand, in certain Dinim of Dinim Mominus, we treat an Eved like Karka. Like the same Kinyan that worked for Karka works for an Eved. It's an Amish Shvuah like a ghost. You can't take a Shvuah on Karka. You don't take a Shvuah on Eved. So that's the root of the Machlekes HaTanaim. Do we treat an Eved as Karka or as like Metalkalin? So once again, Rav is rejected at this point. All the Tanaim, I mean, Rav could argue, but Rav is against all the Tanaim in his Baisa because Avadim, we assume that Avadim who can potentially become Kaddosh, whether or not that translates to mean there's going to be Me'ila, that's a loaded question. So that Machlekes is about is he like Karka or is he like Metalkalin? Yes, the Gemara Ihochi, Adinifugi Bisaro, Lifu Begufo. That's not the Machlekes at Tanoim. If that was a Machlekes, why did Tanoim spending time talking about the hair of the Eved? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel should have said the entire Eved is subject to the Ila. So there's a missing piece to this Braisa. There's something fishy about this Braisa that we don't understand. So we know that the Eved is Kaddish. We know that the Machlekes has something to do with the Ila. But we can't quite fine-tune what that issue is. So we'll have to pick up with this next time as to what exactly is the Pshat in this Braisa. What other Tanaim arguing about? One thing they're clearly not arguing about, everyone agrees the Eved is Kaddish, and if this entire Braisa is actually disagreeing with Rav. So again, Rav is still Tanahu. So.